How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish. Laugh out loud. Accept unconditionally. Navigate the negative and trust in your truth.
Welcome to Flaunt, Build Your Dreams and Live Your Sparkle. I am Laura Cheadle, and today we're going to talk about something that everybody loves. We are going to talk about food. And we're not going to talk about food in any particular form, like what you should eat or what you shouldn't eat or how you should do something or blah, 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 blah. We are just going to talk about food because food is fun. We are going to have on the air today with us a celebrity chef who has done it all. She's been on Food Network. She's had her own radio show for a while. She's on the Sportsman's Channel. She does so much around food. Not only is she a celebrity chef, but she also creates recipes. She has got her own catering business. She teaches people about food. She does all of fantastic stuff related to food. And better yet, she's fun. She's super fun. She's super bouncy. She will just talk, share her story, share her excitement, and she will get you excited about food. So with that, welcome to the show, Susie Jimenez.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. How about you?
I am good. I just found myself being inspired by so many different things that I wanted to put together for the following week, and then I got sidetracked there, and I'm like, wait a second, we got to talk about this on air.
We have to have food. Now, I know I gave a super, 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 super brief introduction of you because I was hoping you would tell listeners kind of the rest of your story about growing up with your family and picking crops and kind of how that began, that your whole relationship with food began.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, you don't really think about, you know, when you're a little kid, what your life is going to be like. And my parents migrated to the United States when, before I was born, obviously, and my sisters, and they, you know, picked crops. So they kind of lived with the harvest, the seasons. They never, you know, lived like, oh, it's summer, this or that. It was always like, oh, it's the peach season, it's the apricot, cherries, whatever. And I just remember always picking something. It was always picking something until I was 16. And when I was 16, funny enough, I was like, Dad, I'm going to retire from the fruit picking. And he's like, why? I mean, it's such dreadful work. So I was really surprised that he even asked why. And I was like, because I'm getting a job at Baskin-Robbins. And he was like, oh, my God, that's too funny that you would go to Baskin-Robbins. But I was like, yeah, it's going to be cold there instead of 110-degree weather in peach country.
No kidding.
Yeah. So it was just very, it naturally came. I mean, there was always fruit in my hand or a vegetable in my hand. And, you know, I come from a family who my mom's got 13 brothers and sisters and my dad's got 13 brothers and sisters. So grandmas and great-grandmothers were always given his job. So I became a natural cook and I love it. It's all great.
Well, I can see some people saying, I am never going to cook again. I grew up kitchen. I grew up helping. There's no way I'm ever going to cook again. So it's really, you found, you know, a lot in that and that you're doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, and naturally I became obviously a really good cook. I got to meet my great grandmother and I used to watch her put together, like, the wood and, you know, set the stove, you know, ready for the whole day. And that's how she cooked. We had no electricity, gas, like, oven.
Really?
All, like, wood. Yeah, so it was really great to see that. And then, you know, if I wanted eggs, I had to go get them out in the farm. If I wanted chicken, my goodness, my grandma would literally chop the head off right then and there and start, like, you know, boiling it and picking the feathers. It was gnarly.
Right. But that's food. I mean, that's the real food. It tastes better. It's better for the animals. It's better for our health. And it's so important to know food comes from and to understand that a chicken nugget does not, like, you know, sprout off of a chicken. It is a chicken nugget is not a food.
No, exactly. You know, and it's just really funny because I grew up this way, and I was just talking to my husband last night. And I'm like, you know, it's very strange because, you know, the rest of the world is just catching on to go back to the old ways, but I've never left the old ways. I mean, obviously, I don't live in Mexico with my grandmother anymore, but I grew up that way until I was, like, you know, 16 years old. I knew nothing. And then after that, you know, obviously, like, I ventured off and started going to, like, culinary school and things like that. But I always knew of a farm and butchering the whole pig and using every, you know, I mean, I think it's funny because I tell people my favorite thing is slow, comfy pig stomach. Like, it's delicious to me. And my husband's like, that is so gross. You like pig stomach? I'm like, yes, I love, like, intestines. I love all that gnarly crap. And people are like, how? I'm like, I think the weirdest thing is I don't really like coleslaw. And people are like, what? That's just mayonnaise. You eat, like, you probably would eat a cow, like, balls or like that.
Right.
My balls are good. And I'm like, well, I probably would if it tasted good. It's just weird. You know? Yeah.
That's nice, though, because that's really how it should be. And if we're going to harvest an animal or a plant or whatever, it's important to use as many parts as we can use. I'm sure there's nutritional value in so many things.
And it tastes so good. I think anything prepared correctly is always very super delicious, you know, and I think that's, like, the key to things. You know, people, I think, in their heads have already wrapped their heads around, oh, my God, I hate mushrooms because of the texture. You know, I hate this because of that. And, you know, at the end of the day, they can have it correctly, you know, or made, like, it cooked correctly, then they wouldn't hate it so much. I mean, you know, I do this show with this friend of mine, David Bach, and he hates turkey because it's always dry. But if he knew how to brine it, how to cook it correctly, then he would love turkey like a lot of us do.
Right. That's a good point. Okay, so you grew up cooking and you knew a lot because you had to help and you enjoyed eating, but then you did go to culinary school too, correct?
Yeah, I went to culinary school in San Francisco, and the reason I really did that, even though I knew how to cook already, was because I wanted to learn the proper techniques, like, not that only Latinos, like, use, but, like, the Chinese, the Japanese, the French, the Italians, and see what their approach is, and I realized that we all have our version of that one thing, but just in our different ingredients that we're able to harvest in our own countries. Because obviously, like, you're not going to find cilantro in Italy, but you're going to find abundance of basil, you know? So it's very important to, like, appreciate everybody else's stuff. But I managed to somehow fuse it all. Like, I made cilantro raviolis before, you know, like curry, you know, short ribs. Like, it's just, like, it's great just to mix them all together. But somehow I end up with Mexican food, you know, by adding cilantro or lime juice, or, I mean, my mom's enchilada sauce or jalapenos or something, but cooking is so much fun.
Right.
You know, yeah, I wish we had, like, I wish you and I were gazillionaires and we could just travel the world and talk to people about what we're eating right then and there.
Oh, wouldn't that be fantastic?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I would love it. It's like, hey, let's sit down and eat, like, 20 different kinds of spaghetti.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. You know, when I was in Italy, I was shocked because we went into a market, and instead of, like, angel hair spaghetti, thinner spaghetti, ravioli, instead of, you know, the typical kinds of pastas that we are used to seeing, it was this entire store pretty much full of all of these different kinds of some pastas, but things to make pastas with. And it was just such a different flavor and such a different feel. And it was like, whoa. This isn't how we do pasta. This is so much better.
Right.
This is fantastic. It's a store of pasta.
Tell me about pizza when you were there, because people tell me, like, obviously I haven't been in Italy yet, but, like, I know how they make their pizzas, and it's usually brushed garlic, olive oil, and things like that, but we're so used to in America, the Pizza Hut, all that cheesy stuff with a lot of sauce. So, like, what was your experience about pizza there?
It was really different. I had pizza two or three, I've been to Italy twice, and I've had pizza, I think, maybe two or three times on this trip. And yes, it is this phenomenal bread. I mean, whatever they do, why that dough is different, I don't know, but it's phenomenal. And it's creamy, doughy all of the time. It's brushed oil, it's garlic, it's like a rolled out slab of dough, it's oily garlic stuff, some amazing fresh meats, tomatoes, some cheese, but more it's like it's more like that fresh grated Parmesan cheese, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And yes, you can get a variety of toppings, but no, we're not talking deep dish. We're not talking seven toppings and heavy or just sauces at all. Right.
And then we have that stuffed one and the crust, and it's like, oh my God, leave it for what it is.
Right. It's fantastic. It truly is fantastic.
No, I think it's great, you know, and I think, you know, I cook for a lot of people, and I think it's interesting how people, you know, perceive food in a certain way. You know, I'm working for this basketball player now, and his wife keeps telling me, like, oh, we love Mediterranean style, it's like Greek salad, and so I had to ask her what her version of that was, only because I wanted to make sure, like, if she wasn't thinking Americanized, and then me give it to her traditionally, she'd be like, wait, what did you just do to this? But it's interesting
how
the perception is all the time, you know, and I mean, I'm so excited. So these days I'm working for a lot of athletes, and I cook for Dwight Howard and Ben Zobrist, Tim Dillard. Right now I'm cooking for Tyson Chandler. And it's been really amazing and a trip to cook for all these athletes that, like, are enjoying my food, and I'm somehow helping them, you know, condition their bodies with, like, right food, because they're here at altitude to train, and, you know, with that, and food is the most important thing, and I'm just so... Like, it just blows my mind that I'm like, wow, I'm feeding these guys, and these guys eat a lot, but it's insane. Like, I just can't even imagine. Like, I would never imagine this as a little girl going, oh, my God, I'm picking cherries, and, like, one day to be a superstar and be on Food Network and have, like, a fan, like, you know, club. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so nuts. But at the end of the day, my mom still works at the same cannery. My sisters still work out in the cherry field, and they keep me very humble to remind myself to not get in my head, you know? And I think that's very important, because sometimes you tend to overdo it. You're like, oh, my God, I'm famous. And they bring you down and go, no, don't forget. Like,
this is who you are. Right.
Exactly. And so I'm happy my mom yells at me even when I call her. I'm like, Mom, I'm working so hard. Everybody wants me. And she, like, gives me this huge lecture. She's like, first of all, you sound conceited. She goes, second of all, she says, you need to stay humble that people are still continuing to call you, because there's a lot of poor people out there that are homeless and don't have a job. So don't get it twisted. You can be gone any day. And I'm like, oh, my God, she's so real.
Right. And you know what? The theme of my show, I don't know if you know my theme of my show, but it's Flaunt. And it's Build Your Dreams and Live Your Sparkle. And the whole focus is on figuring out what you love to do and what well and what you're passionate about, and then doing it. And more often than not, when people are really in the flow and they're really in the group, they do get famous or happy or whatever. They're successful because they're doing what they love. And then it is real. And it's not this ego trip, oh my God, I am so cool, I cook the best food ever. It's that real gift that, hey, I can truly share what I love, and I can share what I know. And this is miraculous and fantastic. And that's what it is for
Absolutely.
You. It's like, yeah, you're excited by this. You're not just, you know, talking about how amazing you are.
Well, and I also feel like somehow in our presence, we all tend to think that, you know, telling ourselves that we did good and we are good. I mean, we all go up, like, through our ups and downs all the time, right? But, you know, we have to remind ourselves to be positive and, like, also tell ourselves, like, that we are great, because we have this tendency to always be like our worst enemy. We're like, oh my God, they didn't like the food. Or maybe, you know what, we just kind of get in our heads a lot, and we have to be able to pride ourselves and say, I am really good at this. And there's no reason that people should call that anything but great confidence and really great ability to do whatever you're capable of doing. And, you know, like, people should look at you and say, you're conceited, or why are you so full of yourself? Guess what? We've been all mastering our craft to master our craft, not to have those comments, have other people tell us that we're great, but not be able to tell ourselves, you know? So, you know, it's balance for sure, but I have to pat myself in the back once in a while and go, oh, man, you know, like, even when I'm working, right now I'm getting up at, like, 4 in the morning, and I'm working all day, and I'm so exhausted, but, like, I know that an NBA star hired me to cook for him personally, and I got to pat myself in the back and say, you know what? This will pass, and now you have something else to, you know, that you conquered or you achieved. So we all will continue to achieve and conquer, like, things, you know. But I just think people need to pat themselves on the back more often, right?
I love that. Yes, because there's no shame in working hard and succeeding. You know, it's just a different form of more. You're working hard. Yay, you. It's not, if somebody's jealous or envious of that, maybe they get up at 4 in the morning and start doing what they're good at and love is things like that. So, right, have your time back, enjoy it, and use a place here for some reason and guys, life reason and your cooking for other people for a reason. Enjoy it, and yes, pat yourself on the back often because you deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm going to continue to try to do that, but you know, sometimes you get overwhelmed and, oh, it is what it is. I mean, I think that more importantly, we just have to, like, you know, you were seeing something before about how we're so lucky that we can actually do what we love. And, you know, there's a lot of people that unfortunately give up on those dreams and they just kind of go through like a mediocre, and I don't want to say mediocre job because I feel like every job, you know, is important for its reason, but they don't do what they ended up wanting to do and they just kind of do the other thing, you know? And I think that people sometimes need to, like, it doesn't matter how old you are. I feel like sometimes people just need to take a chance. And taking a chance is very fearful and very full of, the, like, oh, who knows what's going to happen kind of deal. But, God, the happiness that comes with being able to wake up every single day and say, man, I get to get inspired and do this every single day. And I get to do what I actually love instead of sitting behind a desk. And, you know, I mean, I have a lot of energy. I can't imagine sitting behind a desk. I mean, I would
write
that. So I'm really happy I get to do this. And I think people need to just take a little chance, even if it's as a hobby, but get back into what you love, you know?
I agree. Oh, I agree so much. And like that, it doesn't matter what I hear with a lot of the clients that I work with. They'll say, well, that's not really realistic. And I get tired of that because sure it is. If you love, being a chef is realistic. And if you love selling insurance, that's just as realistic. You know, who are we to prejudge what is realistic and what is not realistic and what you can or cannot be successful at? And so
people
shut us down. They're just talking about their own fears. You know, I wouldn't do that. I don't want you to get hurt, so you don't do that either.
Yeah. My friend sells, what is it called? Like mortgages and stuff like that. And I can't imagine doing that. And she loves it. She likes to calculate things and organize things and put a little tab sign here. Like, it's so cute to see her, like, love to sell mortgages and do all the paperwork and sit down with people and drink coffee. Okay, sign there and sign there. And then calculate their payments. And I'm like, you, like, love this, huh? She's like, oh, my God, I love it. And I can't imagine doing that.
Right.
Can't imagine being a chef because she gets to go, like, you know, she gets takeout all the time and eats it throughout the day. And I'm like, that's crazy. I cannot, you know, and it's just, we're all just so different. And we all just need to be happy in our own skin and be like, these are my bad habits and we are going to have a bad habit. And these are my good habits.
Exactly.
And it is all good. Yeah. But, you know, it's all about balance. And I think it's great. And I love to, you know, sometimes I love to cook every single day. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to do this, do that. But like a day like today, between breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks, and shopping for this family, I'm like, all I want is to like not have any food and just like eat a carrot or a celery with hummus and be done with it.
Right. Now, you mentioned, you just said it's all about dogs and then talked about eating the food. And I kind of wanted to move into that because I do fitness training with my clients and I'm so frustrated by diet. Because people either say, I'm a foodie, and they eat all the food in the world in these enormous quantities, or they're like, I hate food, you can't eat food, and they'll eat like 4 carrots. And it feels like there's a lot of people that have a lot of balance issues around food. And, you know, I think our whole culture has balance issues around food. And
well,
I was just curious what you see about that.
Well, it's like a relationship, I feel like. I think at the end of the day, it's like, the relationship we have with food tells us, I mean, I have a friend, I mean, my dearest best friend in the world, and she does CrossFit, she does swimming, like you name it, but the girl does not like to eat very much, you know, but she's got a sweet tooth, so she'll eat a lot of chocolate at night, you know, but she doesn't know, like she doesn't know what a medium rare steak is, like she likes it well done, and that's what she knows, but like, that's someone like me that I get to eat duck confit, but in moderation, that's cooking duck fat. You know, but I love radishes, and I love to go crazy, and people come over to my house, and I make a salad, and they're like, where's the food? I'm like, oh, look, it's grilled shrimp on a salad. They're like, where's the starch? And I'm like, wow, balance, people, balance.
Right.
It's frustrating. You know, I did a 45-day paleo challenge, and I love paleo, but the things that I have to give up, like rice and beans that I grew up with my entire life, and corn.
Oh, potatoes, that'd be hard.
Like, I was dying. Yeah.
I bet.
Really hard. But 45 days of doing this, and I can tell you what, I watched my body take the craziest transformation. Like, I kept a certain diary. I ate, like, you know, exactly what I needed to. I ate more than before, but I was also
okay.
Of, like, you know, but my body transformed. Oh, my God, I'm going to send you the pictures, and you're going to be like, wow. Like, I lost.
Oh, do.
Around my waist. Yeah. And I kind of started to see a six-pack. It was more like a two-pack, but it still happened.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. I've never done that myself, and I've heard people with, like, that amazing story, but I've never done it. How did you feel, like, mentally when you did that?
Oh, my God. You know what? The first couple of days, it was, like, it was what it was, but it was also having to take away wine and liquor and all that stuff and sugar, because mm-hmm. you couldn't do any more sugar and rice. And as a chef, you know, I didn't have a hard time. I did all 45 days. It challenged me as a chef to go, what am I capable of doing with food and flavors and textures that I'm going to surprise myself for 45 days straight? And I managed to make, you know, desserts that were like made with maple syrup or honey and take away the sugar. And it felt amazing. Like, I mean, people were looking at me like, please help us out. And I was making gluten-free and almond bread. And, I mean, I was going to town on everything. And it was amazing.
Wow.
So, mind-wise, it kept me clear, it kept me focused, it kept me, like, wanting to continue to create. But for someone that's not a chef, I can't imagine, mm-hmm. like, them, especially if they don't know how to cook, there was a lot of people in my gym that had a really hard time, because they were like, I don't know what to eat. And I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? And I gave them all ideas, and it was great for me. I lost, oh, my God, it was awesome. I should have wrote a book, 45 Days on Paleo.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And I like what you said, that for people who are not a chef, that is so true, because I know that holds me back sometimes, because my son just went gluten-free about a year ago. And I'm still struggling. You know, I'll pull out a recipe. Hey, it's Christmas. We're doing shortbread. We can't do shortbread.
Yeah.
It's hard.
If you do it, it's not what you grew up with, you know? And so there's a lot of dietary restrictions out there, and I always tell people, like, I think everyone needs to respect everyone for what they're doing, because we don't know everybody's, you know, history, whether, you know, they need to eat more carbs or less sugar, they're diabetic, they're not, like, who knows? So I think people just need to respect others, whether it's just a theme they're going through, or if it's, like, serious, you know, I always respect my good clients. If they say, know this, know that, know this, I make it work somehow, and I always manage to make them happy. So there's always a
right.
way, you know?
Right. So you cook. Oh, yeah, no, we totally are, and we do have definitely have unique dietary needs and preferences. I hate red meat. I have always hated red meat, and my husband makes fantastic steak, and we'll go to restaurants, and people say, have a bite of this, and it's like, I don't know what it is, guys. I don't like it, you know? I just don't, and that's okay.
And
that's okay, but, yeah, people do have different needs or preferences or likes, and you had mentioned somewhere along the line there, and texture is a very real thing for people, and sometimes they don't even realize that that's what it is that they don't like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I ate everything growing up. There was not one thing, but obviously it was all mainly Mexican food, you know. But, I mean, it's just the way I grew up. And, I mean, believe me, when people are like, what's your favorite food? I'm like, tacos, like, straight up. Like, what is there not to love about a taco? But, like,
right.
I can't forget my flavors. Like, I squeeze lime on most of my food. Hot sauce goes on everything. I love just straight refried beans with queso fresco and tortillas, like, straight up with a roasted jalapeno. I love the simplicity of the way I grew up, but I love to go to 5-star restaurants and be like, yes, I want foie gras foam and whatever, you know?
Yes.
I'm very lucky that I was able to love both the simplicity street food and really elegant food. I can go with either one any day. And sometimes I wake up, I'm like, yes, I'm going to put truffle oil all over my scrambled eggs, and I don't care what anyone says.
Oh, I love it. And I have to say, my favorite food is Mexican food, too. And one of my favorite things is just when we go to Mexico and we just eat. And like that, when you find a place and you can just eat and it's real food and it's delicious flavors, and you sit there on the beach and you just eat like that, beans and a tortilla and some rice, and heaven, it's
yeah.
the best thing ever. And so,
yes, absolutely. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, food is something that's never going to be the end of anything. A mistake leads into the best thing in the world, and you never stop learning. So I'm very thankful at the end to have become a chef and know that my whole life is not going to consist of learning something. And stories are attached to those, you know, recipes, because, I mean, there's gazillions of different ways to do things, but there's so many people on this planet, and everyone's got a different story and a different, you know, connection with food. And I mean, you never stop learning or listening. And so I hope that one day hit it real big with the lottery and I can just go around and interview
yes.
mothers and mothers around the world and just eat with them and learn and eat and eat. And I love to eat and just keep going, you know, just never stop. But just make sure you do exercise so that you don't gain too much weight. But eating would be a way to like live this like world.
Oh, I love it. You know, I tell and do a cocktail if I can find it, because I know it's somewhere. I was in Georgetown a couple of years ago, and I picked up a copy of a cookbook that was written by a woman who still lived there, and she still had her cast iron stove, and she still cooked on that. And her cookbook was all recipes that she did on that stove. And it was just amazing, and I bought it because I loved it so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. I mean, God, you know, and you know, I always end everything saying, like, the party always ends up in the kitchen, and you just got to spice it up somehow.
Oh, that's cool. So you were saying that you'll never stop learning, and I think that's a really important concept, too, because I feel like the rest of us who are not chefs maybe have 5 dinner recipes and 3 breakfast ideas, and we cook the same maybe 10 things our entire life, and then food does get boring. Do you have any tips on that, or do you have, like, your default recipes that you go to also?
I mean, I always go back to, like, what my mom always taught, like, you know, fed me. Like I said, my beans, my tortillas, my queso fresco, my little, like, jalapeno. Like, that's something I would go to kind of thing, you know, if I'm just like, oh, I just want something rustic and great. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like people just need to get outside their box, you know. Sometimes it's okay to just, you know, figure out how you can make eggs 3 different ways or 10 different ways and just change it up. I mean, I've been working for this family for 2 weeks now, and I've made breakfast 14 different ways already, you know, using the same ingredients.
Wow.
And I just think that, you know what, it's okay to have a little bit of, you know, dinner for breakfast and breakfast for dinner, but also, like, go to the store and, like, grab that different herb that you normally wouldn't and taste it and see what you think it would, like, feel like in your mouth and, you know, mix with other things and, like, just saute it in your eggs or, you know, make a sauce with it, you know. Like, I think that the biggest thing is that people are afraid of what they don't know, and sometimes they just,
we have
Google, we have computers, we have so many resources. Go to the store and look at something and Google it. Say, what is eggplant? And eggplant will tell you, you know, what the consistency is, how many different ways people use it. And guess what? Maybe that day you'll go home and make eggplant parmesan, you know, just like, and make a meat sauce, you know, but like, get outside your box. And I think if people did that twice a week or maybe once a week when they're at the store and they just look at something and go, what is a cucumber melon? You know, just grab it.
Right.
Figure out whether it goes in a salad, whether you need to cook it. Like, how would you use that? But get out of your comfort zone and stop being afraid, because you'll discover so many amazing things out there if you just keep your mind open. And you know what? And it gives you a spark of like, oh, my God, what is it going to taste like? It's going to make you curious and it's going to kind of pump up your day a little bit, I feel like.
Right. Oh, that's exciting. That's actually really great advice. I like that a lot. So
yeah,
do you
with that, and I like it myself.
I'm like, yes, go, Susie. Now, since you're cooking all day for other people, then do you come home and cook for yourself as well?
I mean, you know, me and my husband, yeah, yesterday he actually, like, grilled me an awesome steak, and I was excited for that. But my husband's an archery hunter, so he goes off, like, he just took off yesterday to go elk hunting here in Colorado. The weekend before that, he was up in Craig Meeker area antelope hunting. So his season
wow.
officially started. And from now until oh, the end of the year, he'll manage to go elk hunting, whitetail hunting, turkey, you name it. And then he goes into ice fishing, and he's going to go moose hunting in Canada. So I also am very lucky as a chef to have a husband that goes and brings me exotic meats, wild meats. They're organic. They're not touched by man and pesticides.
Yeah.
And so I get to play with a lot of amazing things. So he takes off and leaves me here, and I just get inspired, and then he comes back with a huge 500-pound elk, and then we process it, grind it, do it. I mean, you name it, and it's amazing how your mind is. I mean, I love the fact that I go kind of crazy because I come up with so many ideas on how we can cook this stuff, whether it's Mexican style, Italian stews, like all that. It's, man, I got it good.
Right.
I can say that.
That's exciting.
But I love to cook for my husband. I do cook for my husband all the time, probably almost every night. And then a couple of nights out of the week, he's like, one night we'll go out, and then the other night he's like, I made you something, you know. But I love to cook all day. I mean, people think that once you're done cooking, because it's my job, that I'm over it. But no, I come home, I made myself a big bowl of ceviche, and that's what I'm going to eat for dinner tonight. Like, that's
yum.
What I'm going to snack on all night tonight. And I'm going to go to sleep early and start all over again tomorrow. And, you know, it's going to be great.
And it'll make you happy. I love that, because then you're doing what you truly love all day, and you're nourishing yourself and your husband and other families. And I think that's really, really neat. Now, how was it that you got out of Instagram? I want to know that whole story.
The what? I'm sorry?
How was it that you got on Food Network? Because I don't know that story of how that happened.
Well, you know, so I watched the Food Network since before I went to culinary school. And I watch it all the time. And it's just like with season 6 of Food Network Star that just ended, and RT won, and she does Indian cuisine. And at the very end, it just said, you know, if you think you have what it takes to be the next Food Network star, download the application and go to the nearest casting city. And they happen to be in Denver, which is, you know, 3 hours away from me. And so
Perfect.
It was my birthday. Yeah, it was my birthday. And I told my husband, like, I want you to take me to Denver. I want to go cast. I want to see what the chances are. And he was like, really? But, like, he said that. But what are the chances? I'm like, I don't know, but I just want to go and see what happens. So we went to Denver, stayed at the Magnolia Hotel. That's where the cast was, the castings and stuff. And I got in there. I mean, I had 2 minutes to talk to them. And within 2 minutes, they were like, oh, my God, we want you to come back for a second interview. So I came back for a second interview and did a quick little demo. And then they were like, oh, my God, we're going to call you. Now you're, you know, they gave us homework. Like, you have to send us some video and some pictures of you cooking and, you know, all that good stuff. So I sent that off to them. And, I mean, they ended up by calling me and saying, okay, so you're one of the top, like, 40. We want you to come to New York, come to the Food Network, you know, studio, and, you know, do one of the final interviews. And I was like, what in the world? Oh, my God. So they
brought
me out there. Yeah, I had to pretend that I was doing my 30-minute show, and I made, like, a mustard chicken. I don't even remember what the rest was, but it was, like, a mustard chicken and something. But I remember having so much fun with it and just going, oh, my God, like, picturing myself going, I can have my own show. This can be really, really nuts to have my own show. And so I finished. And I think 6 weeks now, it wasn't 6 weeks. It was less than that. It seemed like 6 weeks. But a few weeks went by, and they finally called me, and they said, hey, we're obligated to call everybody wants to make it on or not. So right off the bat, I was like, oh, that sucks. So I was trying to prepare myself. Like, so we just wanted to inform you that we're sorry, but you're going to have to leave for 12 weeks starting on January 4th. And I was like, what? It happened. Yeah, and they were like, you're one of the top 15 finalists. We're picking you up at your house on this day. And it was weird because they picked me up in the middle of the night. And then my husband didn't
really
call 3 months after that.
It was
like they were, like, kidnapping me. Because it was, like, I don't know. It must have been, like, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. And they had to drive me to the Denver airport from my house. And they had a driver and everything. And it was so crazy. But it was an experience. I mean, oh, my God. Talk about fighting for a place in the culinary world and giving everything up. You weren't allowed to talk to anybody. They took your ID, your phone, your cash, TV, radio,
really?
Everything. It was insane. I was like, what's happening? But yeah, I didn't get to have my husband for 3 months either. It was insane, you know. I didn't quit my job, but I wasn't allowed to tell them, so I got fired, you know. Like, you give up so much hoping that something's going to happen, and then it happens, and then you're like, wow. And then, yeah, it's a roller coaster for sure, but obviously, I came in second, and I was very proud of myself, and I've had Yeah, and you know what? It wasn't meant to happen that way, but I'm so busy working for athletes and movie stars. I mean, I get to work with Kevin Hart and Antonio Banderas and stare at their beautiful faces, and, you know, I get to work with a lot of great people, so I'm thankful, regardless. Right. Like, I've worked where I'm very working very hard to continue to grow, and so it just never ends. So it's totally great. I love it.
Oh, it is. So do you like cooking for people, or do you like teaching people how to cook, or both?
You know, I think I like it both. There's a sense of, like, you know, you got to balance things out, and sometimes it's hard to just see the entertainment, because when you're sitting there, you know, showing people how to cook, and you're being like the demonstrator and like the entertainer, like, it draws. I mean, even when I do shows on the Sportsman's Channel and Hip Latina and things like that, it's very draining.
Yes.
Bring out your personality, get them excited. And when you get left alone, like I'm doing now, I get there, you know, 4 or 5 hours before they wake up, and I've done their lunches, dinners, snacks, shopping, everything, and I get left alone, and it's almost like a filter, a peace of mind, just to, like, sit around the kitchen by myself and do my thing, you know? So it's nice
right.
to feel both. I think balance is the most important thing in life and in career and everything.
No, that's a good point. It, that solitude, it's kind of meditative, I bet, and then you're right. To share it with other people is a gift as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how many cooking shows are you doing right now?
I do I have a bunch of little projects going on. So I do cooking with Jillian Livingston on Aspen Real Life, and really what I do is take over her kitchen and show her kids how to cook, or her, where we talk about, like, what's the season and things like that. So I do little segments with her. Hip Latina is a website, and I do a lot of, like, spicy tips on how to, like, you know, make beautiful ice cubes with flowers and put some champagne into the, you know, the ice to decorate it for your next party. You know, so it's not only little tips and things like that. How to, like, store things, how to plate things like that. I do a lot of wild game with the Sportsman's Channel. I've only gotten really good at that because my husband obviously is an archery hunter, but I do that.
Right.
And so I'm just kind of doing things all over the place. But on top of that, like, I have my catering business. I've done a lot of shows, and I don't think that this is going to be the end of it by any means. I keep, like, wanting to be smart about which ones I do, but, you know, right now I'm liking just creating ideas in my head and being busy making money, and then eventually I'll start thinking about, oh, what's the next fun thing to do? But it's going to take a while.
Oh, yeah. No, it will. And I think it is kind of nice to just play the field, so to speak. Do what comes up and enjoy it, and then find what you love and find what, hey, that was great, but I don't really need to do that anymore. It's nice to have options.
Absolutely, it does. You know, and I think that's the reason that my job doesn't get boring, because I know that, you know, I could easily one day, you know, do, you know, cooking shows, and then the next week I can just create, you know, I do a lot of things where people order food for me, so I'll do, like, a big thing on Facebook and say, you know what, this month I get a lot of for this amount of money, and people pre-order all their food, and then I just allow the food. And so there's just a lot of times where you just want to focus on one thing, and then there's times where you want to juggle things and see what happens next, you know?
Oh, exactly. Now, do you write recipes as well?
My God, that's my biggest, hardest thing that I have to do, because I never learned how to cook measuring stuff. I mean, cooking is one thing, but my mom just, like, measures in her palm, and her palm tells her it's a quarter cup or it's a half a cup. So that's the way I cook.
Right.
So it's hard to create recipes when all I know is how it's supposed to taste and the texture and the look. And so when I started making recipes, I had a girl, and I would, like, grab something in my hand and throw it in a bowl, and she'd measure it and then write it down. And then I would, you know, everything I threw into a pot, I had to throw in a bowl so she can, like, measure it. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done. And I think what I would love to try to create is more of a like a cookbook that's videos rather than writing it down, because I think there's something to be said about going, hey, you know, like, make them all 5 minutes. Like, people don't need to see me chop onions and things like that, but it'd be cool to do, like, 5-minute videos where people can, like, sit there and look at something and go, okay, I can pause that while I get to this part, you know, and they can actually visually see it rather than read it. And I think that they would understand if I say, oh, look, at you saw that it's funny? Oh, well, this is what you're going to do. You can't explain that in a cookbook. You can't explain all the different things that it may or may not do. You have to be able to explain it in person. So I thought about doing that, but, oh, my God, that's a whole other project, Laura.
Oh, that would be a huge project, but I think that would be invaluable, because it's true. You look at something and, you know, they explain some consistency or something, and I always find myself stirring or mashing and thinking, well, is this what they mean? I don't know.
Exactly. It is so hard to sit there and understand what you mean, but, you know, things also happen when you say, oh, get 2 cups of peaches. Well, what if they're not that ripe? Maybe they're more on the greener side, then you're going to see more pulp rather than more, you know, pure consistency. And I think people need to understand, like, why does mine look like this? And then you can explain, like, oh, peaches mean, you know, you might have got them underripe. And it's just nice to be able to feel like you have a friend explaining things to you rather than you just sitting there reading something going, oh, my God, I don't know if I did this right.
Oh, exactly. I think that's a fantastic idea. I hope at some point you do go through with that, because that would be wonderful.
We're going to see. Wonderful. I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. There's only like 62 million things I'm sure that you're in the middle of. And I'm really fascinated with this whole wild game thing, because I grew up with my dad hunting elk and deer. And it was the 70s, and my mom was not a great cook. And, you know, she had the traditional Betty Crocker cookbook, and she would try to make elk steaks or ground deer, and it would always just taste horrible. And we'd all go, ew, and we'd try to work things out and try to make it better, and it just never was great. And part of that, too, we had no money to buy fresh stuff. It was the 70s.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of great stuff. But when you have it well done, good wild game is phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's the other thing, is just being able to, I mean, you can just salt and pepper it for sure. Just, it'd be fine, you know, but it's also about the cut. Like, you have to know what part is, you know, really tender, what part is really hard that needs to be cooked for 4 hours. And, you know, it's understanding an animal and its dynamic in order for it to turn out right. I mean, even down to, you know, vegetables. I feel like people just cook the crap out of vegetables and they just become a big puddle of mush when they should be al dente, you know, and they should be a little crisp, and they shouldn't look like a puke green color. They should be bright and green and crisp and, you know, things like that. But, you know, everybody has the way they grew up on things, and that's the, you know, the unfortunate thing is, like, our parents didn't know it. They were just like, oh, just cut the crap out of zucchini, and now being a chef, I love mine having really, like, really insane heat, 500 degrees, and only having them in there for 3 minutes because they just charred the outside. They keep it nice and crunchy, you know? So, you know, everyone's got their own thing, too, you know? So, yeah, I tell you, food, we can sit here and talk for hours and hours about food.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and that's anything that's not about the vegetables. Because my husband always hated the stuff. And I kid you not, we've been married over 20 years. About a year ago, I was like, dude, Brussels sprouts are the best thing in the world. And I made Brussels sprouts. And I made Brussels sprouts lightly roasted with olive oil and garlic and sea salt. Very basic in the oven. And he's like, these are the best things ever. I'm like, yes, because they weren't boiled for an hour and a half in water.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's amazing, right? But, yeah, I mean, I tell you, people just continue to learn. I continue to learn things, you know. So I'm thankful that I chose to be a chef and I continue to eat well and try all these awesome ingredients that grow from our own earth, you know. So, good life.
Yeah. Well, I am thrilled that you're doing it. I'm thrilled about it. I love that you're real about it, too. You're not like, oh, this is what I do. It sounds like your way of getting people to love food, to explore different cultures, to have that understanding of, you know, basil grows here, cilantro grows here. I just love that whole 360 approach. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think if I can tell anybody anything about food, which is what I said earlier, just get outside
of your normal box and try something different. You'll be surprised what you'll find out there, and you know, it'll give you a little like excitement with your dinner choices to figure out how you can incorporate into the way you normally cook things, and you know, you'll discover so many different amazing things out there.
And even what you said with salad, you can put different toppings on it. You can create a lot with salad. And then if you make eggs, you know, 10 different ways, that's amazing because you're right. It doesn't have to be super fancy. Make eggs different ways. Woo, that's easy.
Yeah. Well, and you know, people wouldn't know this, but you know, you can roast on really high heat, like radishes, and that nice pungent like taste that you get settles down, and it's still really pungent, but it's got the sweetness to it. So, like, try cooking some vegetables. Like, people will never think to, like, grill an avocado, you know, slice and put it in your salad. It adds smokiness and a different, like, texture to your salad. So, you know, don't think you can't grill celery, because celery is delicious on the grill, and so aren't carrots. So, you know, just get outside the box a little bit and try something different, and you'll be surprised of what else is still out there.
I had never even thought about that, like cooking methods. You're totally right. I have never tried any of those. They sound weird, but yeah, I can see how that grilled avocado would taste great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, that is crazy.
Thank you for having me on your show. It was so amazing to talk to you and catch up on
you. Yes.
I also remember why I love my job so much.
Good. Now, I want you listeners information on where they can find you, whether it's websites, whether it's recipes, whether it's TV, whatever. Please give all of your information so listeners can find you, find out more about you, hire you, read about you, look at pictures of you, whatever it is.
Absolutely. Thank you. So my phone number is 970-948-4096, and I do, I mean, everything from catering to doing drop-offs to groceries to, like, you name it, demonstrations. And then, you know, they can also just Google Suzy Jimenez, S-U-S-I-E, last name is J-I-M-E-N-E-Z, and they'll, you know, I'll have a lot of information about who I am. They can find spicy tips on Tip Latina, so it's HIPLATINA.com. And I also do the Sportsman's Channel on the Sporting Chef, and I do little wild game segments on there. So there's a lot of different ways to find me, and you can look me up. And if you're ever in Aspen and you pick up a magazine, I'm sure I'll be in there somehow.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing your tips, for sharing your tricks, and just for being with me here today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I hope you all enjoyed Suzy as much as I did. Some of the things that I really appreciate about her and her mission and what she does is the fact that she's real. She's doing what she loves because she loves doing it. She's not being a celebrity chef because it's the only thing she knows how. And she's not doing it to try to, you know, shove some lesson down somebody's throat or anything like that. She's doing it because it's a part of her. It's a part of her history. She's sharing her culture. She's sharing her family. She's sharing love. She's doing all of this amazing stuff by and through food. And I had mentioned this earlier in the show, but as a personal trainer, I work with people a lot on nutrition and diet, and it's always been really frustrating for me to see people not enjoy food. I know that we can abuse food. I know that it's not good being gluttonous or anything like that, but by the same token, we have to eat every day, and we should eat every day. And food is what nourishes our bodies. I mean, literally, food gives us our energy. Food provides us with nutrition. Food is the building blocks of our body. What we eat, figuratively and literally, becomes a part of us. And it's so important to honor that process and to love our food and to love our bodies enough to provide our bodies fantastic food.
And I feel like Susie is really doing that. And I love how she works with athletes in providing them the proper food to nourish their bodies, not only for their bodies, but for peak athletic performance as well. Because a lot of people lose track of the fact that if you are going to work out hard, you need to be very healthy and you need to nurture yourself with proper nutrition. So I think that's wonderful. Also, she did inspire me. I have to admit that I default into bagged salads far too often because I get busy and I get bored and I have my handful of recipes and I get bored with those handful of recipes. So I'll say, well, let's just go get a bag of salad and toss it all together in a bowl. And I know that is not really honoring me or my family or my culture or my history. And I am definitely more inspired, and I am going to search out some of her recipes, search some of her ideas, and I'm really excited to go to the store, look at some foods that I've never tried before, buy them, come home, and just see what they do. I think that's a fantastic little tip. But I hope you, too, have been inspired. I hope you are as hungry as I am. And I hope that after this show, we can all go eat something yummy in a moderate amount. And I love how she talked about balance, because it is all about balance. So no matter what you are all doing this week, please try to share some food with yourself or with others. Share some love with yourself and with others. Give yourself a pat on the back. Share some food. Experiment. Enjoy. And like she said, keep learning.
And speaking of learning, have I got something for you? I have recently started my own YouTube channel, and I'm also going to be doing this on Facebook Live. But what I will be doing is having a Monday morning live video that will be live on Facebook, and then I will upload on YouTube later. And this video is going to be called Choreographing Your Week. And what I'm going to do is just give you a couple of minutes every week of inspiration, of things to do, of useful tips and tricks, things that you can learn, things that you can do, things that you can ponder that will hopefully make your week and your entire life better. They might be food tips and tricks. They might be fitness tips and tricks. They might be spiritual things or just deep thoughts to ponder. There's going to be so many fun, exciting things that I know you're not going to want to miss them. So, how you can find these Monday morning Choreographing Your Week videos is by searching Laura Cheadle, L-O-R-A-C-H-E-A-D-L-E, on YouTube and subscribing there, or reaching out to me on Facebook, Laura, L-O-R-A Cheadle, C-H-E-A-D-L-E, or by requesting to join my Flaunting Fitness Facebook page. So any one of those things will get you in touch with my Choreographing Your Week videos. So I look forward to seeing you on those. Have a fantastic week. Go eat something yummy. Go learn something new. And don't forget to flaunt.
So with that, have a wonderful, fantastic, magical week. And don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt, Build Your Dreams, Live Your Sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.